Tonight I'd like to look at some scriptures with you, so I hope that you brought your Bible with you. I want to raise this very simple question in our lesson tonight. Are you reading your Bible? In the New Testament, in an older gentleman's letter to a younger Christian that he is encouraging to carry on in preaching the gospel for as long as the Lord allows him to remain on the earth, Paul to young Timothy wrote these words in his second letter to him, chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Those words are precious to every young man, middle-aged man, older man, who has taken upon himself the mantle of service to Christ in preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Written words are so very important, aren't they? It is good for you and I that we have the completed revelation of Jehovah God to mankind. We're not waiting for additional revelation from God. We have it all in the Bible and have had it this way for almost 2,000 years. Think how we depend upon God's written word. How would we know anything about the character of God were it not for His written word? How would we know anything about Jesus Christ and His coming to this earth to sacrifice Himself, to provide forgiveness of sins to mankind? How would we know those very important things without the Scriptures? And because we have the written Scriptures available to us, it behooves us to learn how to read them, to make sure that our children learn how to read them, to be with other people who struggle with their reading, to help them learn how to read the Scriptures. Are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible often? Are you reading your Bible daily? Are you reading it enough to keep faith alive in your heart? Those are very pointed questions, ones in which we must carefully consider. There are some people in this life, and you've probably run across some, who do not know how to read. There are some people who do not know how to read who can quote Scripture to you because they've listened to someone read the Scripture. Many years ago, there was a member here at Old Hickory who did not know how to read, but he could quote Scripture to you. And he was faithful in his service to God. You need to know what is written in the book of God in order to enjoy the blessings revealed for us there. Parents are certainly responsible to teach their children from the Bible. You know, it was probably sometime shortly before my lifetime, maybe a little earlier than that, when people began to get away from the Bible. But elementary and grammar schools all across this country, especially when this country was first starting out and establishing itself and its history, where school teachers used the Holy Bible to teach their students how to read. I long for those days again. Wouldn't those days be good for our country if that were the case? People learn how to read by reading the Bible. Lost souls are saved, and saved souls are strengthened by reading the Bible. I want to go back with you to some Old Testament scriptures because they show us how important reading God's Word really is. Israel was required to read God's law. God commanded them to read it. Must have been a good reason for that, wouldn't you think? The law of Moses was read quite often. In Exodus 24, verses 3 through 7, we have this. Moses, the great friend of God and leader of God's people during one time in their history, came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do." That's in Exodus 24 and verse 3. Notice what verse 4 says. Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He would have to be careful doing that, wouldn't he? To make sure that he didn't get anything wrong, that he didn't make any mistakes. Because this written record would be used to read to God's people in the days going forward. In verse 7, then he took the book of the covenant. That's where he had written the words of the Lord. And read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, notice once again, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And we will be obedient. The Old Testament certainly shows that the knowledge of God's word was necessary in order to maintain faith in God's people and good godly conduct in their daily affairs. The Old Testament shows what happened to those who failed in this regard as well. And there are many scriptures we could look at to establish those truths. The reading of God's word continued into the days of the New Testament. Notice that in Pisidian Antioch, Paul preached on the Sabbath day in a Jewish synagogue, which was his habit as he went throughout the world on his various missionary journeys, teaching the gospel of Christ to every person who would listen. When he first went into a city, he would go into a synagogue because those people were familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. And remember, Jesus gave his direction to his apostles that your primary concern will be with the lost people of the house of Israel. Go to them first. And so this was Paul's habit. He went on the Sabbath day to the synagogue, and there, after the reading of the law and the prophets, the reading of the law and the prophets was done every Sabbath day in the Jewish synagogue. You can read about that in Acts 13, beginning in verse 13 and going forward. In Acts 15, in verse 21, there is another place in the New Testament. And it says this about reading from the covenant. Moses, from ancient generations, have in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogue every Sabbath. So you see what their habit was. Luke records, even during the life of Jesus, in Luke 4 and verse 16, that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. What did he read? He read from the Word of God, you'll see, in that context. So reading, followed by obeying the instructions that were read, instructions from God, was required by all people who intended to be faithful to God. This is how they would recognize the Messiah when he came. They would have God's word in their hearts, and they would be looking for someone who was revealed to them. Characteristics were revealed, not his name and address and phone number. Characteristics of him were revealed to them in God's word, so that they would be looking for him when he came. Remember, Moses had spoken before that God would raise up a prophet like unto him that the people should listen to in every word that he said. Furthermore, Israel's strength depended on reading God's law. In Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20, we see that even the kings over God's people were responsible for reading the law. Here's what the record said, Deuteronomy 17, beginning in verse 18. Now it shall come about when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, and he's talking about kings over God's people. He's giving do's and don'ts in this context about that. He shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. You see, they wanted to make sure that when the king wrote God's law, he didn't make any mistakes. He wrote it down as it was, wrote it correctly. But how important was it for the king to actually take up a writing instrument and write God's law for himself? Do you remember things that you write? Are things that you write somewhat important to you? Do they occupy the sentiments of your heart while you're writing them? They certainly do, don't they? In verse 19, it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. I've known some Christians in days past that they have a notebook. They have a spiritual journal. They have some writing paper, something, where they have written down God's Word. Word for word. They have taken their New Testament. They have taken pen and paper, and they have written every word all the way through the New Testament. Have you ever done anything like that? It's a way to study it. It's a way to remember it. It's a way to be impressed with the unity and the power of God's Word. It's wonderful to do that. God required that of His kings. Why do you suppose He did that? Was it not to make sure that they knew God's Word? They were to read it all the days of their lives. Why? You know, the record tells us, look, continue on in verse 19, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Ah, now we see a purpose and a mission behind this. He may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing the words, you see, of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his countrymen, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, so that he and his sons may continue long in his kingdom in the midst of Israel. Was the king of Israel important? Well, certainly he was. Was it important for him to write his own copy of God's law? Certainly it was. Was it important for him to take that law into his heart so that he might govern the people according to it? Certainly. Certainly it was. And we have the example of Josiah that we could look at from 2 Kings chapter 22. He was 8 years old when he became king. The record tells us in 2 Kings 22:1. 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of his father David. Notice this, nor did he turn aside to the right or to the left. Where did we see that expression before about turning aside to the right or left? We saw it in reference to one of the reasons why the kings were to write their own copy of God's law, didn't they? So that they would know it. They would carefully observe the words. So that they would not turn from the commandments of the Lord their God to the right or to the left. Here is one who took good advice. Here's one who followed the instruction of Jehovah God. In verse 3 now, in the 18th year of King Josiah, skipping down to verse 8, when Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king. In verse 9, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. What was this book? It was a book of the law. Well, where did they find it? They found it in the house of the Lord. Was it lost? Well, the record indicates they found it. That would indicate that it was lost, wouldn't it? So this man reads it in the presence of the king. How did the king respond? Look in verse 11. When the king heard these words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Why did he do that? The tearing of the clothes was a significant sign of something when done by people in the scriptures. Do you remember what that was? In verse 12, then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and others, verse 13, go inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us. He realized that the Lord was angry with them. Why? Because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. That's why he tore his clothes. It was a gesture of seriousness, of penitence, of the hope of avoiding the wrath of God. Huldah the prophetess was consulted. In the next few verses, verse 16, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me. Why did they forsake Jehovah God? They stopped looking to his word. They stopped looking to his word for long enough for them to lose a copy of it. What does that say about how highly they regarded God's word? God told the kings to write their own copy of it. Why? Because I want you to highly regard it. And I want you to see that everyone else does too. Now how do you lose that? You lose it by not highly regarding it. And what happens when you do not highly regard it? Because they have forsaken me. Now here's how they forsook Jehovah God. They burned incense to other gods that they might provoke me to anger with the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard that I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes will not see all the evil which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. In 2 Kings chapter 23, concerning Josiah's covenant, the king commanded this great assembly to take place. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. Do you see the significance of that? God's word had been lost. And because of that, they forsook him. And then when it was found, they realized his wrath was stirred against them for that very thing, for neglect of his word. Now he calls all the people, everybody needs to hear about this, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord, a covenant which their ancestors had agreed to be obedient to, by the way, if you remember. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul to carry out the words of the covenant which were written in this book, and all the people entered into the covenant. You see, they saw the great blessing of abiding in God's word, and that's where they wanted to be. And as a result of that, you will see in the remainder of these verses that all traces of idolatry in the land were obliterated. God hated idolatry. The people had begun to worship idols, like the heathen people around them. But all traces were obliterated. In verse 21, then the king commanded all the people, saying, celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. They weren't observing the Passover, which they were commanded to do, you remember, forever. When God led them out of Egypt during that initial Passover event. We were reminded of that in the song that we sung during the invitation this morning. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. They were commanded to put blood on the doorposts of their homes, on the lintel, in order that when the death angel came through, the firstborn in that house would not die. And that happened during the deliverance of God's people from the bondage of Egypt. Surely such a Passover had not been celebrated from the days of the judges who judged Israel in verse 22. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was observed to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah removed the mediums and the spiritists and the teraphim and the idols and the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might confirm the words of the law, which were written in the book, that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. The record says in verse 25, before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor did any like him arise after him. Pretty good example, wasn't he? A great example in how he dealt with God's word. Even when it had been lost, and it was found once again. It's no surprise to us that regular reading of the scriptures was commanded in the days of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 31, 9 through 12. Moses wrote this law, and he gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses made certain commands to them, and he says, when Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place which he will choose, if you had to guess what they were going to do, what would you say it would be? You shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. You shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people in verse 12 of Deuteronomy 31, the men and the women and children, and the alien that is in your town, so that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God and be careful to observe all the words of this law. You know, those weren't wasted instructions, were they? Those weren't mere suggestions for God's people. It was their very existence that hung in the balance and depended upon this. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, a favorite expression of the people of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. You remember that? That's quoted a couple of times in the New Testament, in the Gospel accounts, isn't it? Notice in verse 6, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. Why in the world do we have to stand here and listen to this priest of God read to us from God's law? There's a purpose behind it. It needs to go in your ears, but it doesn't need to go in one ear and out the other like we talk to our children sometimes about. It needs to stay in our hearts, just like it needed to stay in the hearts of God's people. What I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. How is one way in which that is accomplished? Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Why? How many Bibles do you have in your household? I would venture to say more than one. There might be as many as 20 or 30 Bibles in your house. That would not be unusual for Christians to have that many Bibles. How many translations are there these days? More than a dozen. More than a dozen that would be profitable for us to read. If people know that we serve God and they're looking for a gift to give us, what a lot of times will they give us? Brand new Bible. So how many Bibles have we accumulated through the years? How many Bibles have we looked at and said, I think I would like to have that one. Look, it has nice margins. I can make notes in the margins of my Bible. That will help me find things and help me remember things. And that's good. The number one book published in the world continues to be, year after year after year after year, the Holy Bible. There are a lot of people that buy it that don't read it. And that's a shame, but it's still the number one seller. Israel and Judah became captives as a result of not reading as they should. It's no surprise to us based on what God has said. Israel was revived under Ezra and Nehemiah. How were they revived? When they came back from the land of oppression, where God had punished them because they never finally gave up idolatry. They turned a deaf ear to God's law. They wanted to live life their way. And God said, okay, he got to the point where he said, I'm tired of talking to you and have you turn your ears away. And so I'm going to have to punish you. And he carried them away into captivity as a result. When the remnant, when the few faithful who were swept up in that came back under Ezra and Nehemiah. Notice Nehemiah chapter 8, 1 through 13. All the people were gathered as one man at the square which is in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. On the first day of the seventh month, he read from it before the square which was in front of the water gate from the early morning until midday. We have it rough sometimes, don't we? Having to endure padded seats for an hour or two on Sunday morning. He read it before the people in the square. From early morning until midday in the presence of men and women, those who could understand. And notice this, all the people were attentive to the book of the law. They paid attention to what they heard. How many of them? All of them. That's what the record says. And notice this in verse 7. Also, the Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. You know, in such a vast array of assembly of people like that, there would be people here and there throughout the assembly that, well, I didn't quite catch that. What did he say? And the Levites were there. Here's what the law says. And there would be a certain number of people in assembly that size. Couldn't you just see the reality of this? Well, I don't quite understand what that means. And the Levites would be there to explain what God's law meant. They read from the book in verse 8, from the law of God, translating, notice, to give the sense so that they understood the reading. What good would it do for them to get up and read to this vast assembly? Nobody understood what was being read. You know, that'd be a waste of time, wouldn't it? So the Levites assisted God and the prophets of God in giving the sense so that the people understood the reading. In verse 12, all the people went away to eat and to drink and to send portions and to celebrate a great festival because they understood the words which had been made known to them. Then on the second day, the heads of fathers of household and all the people and the priests and the Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe that they might gain insight into the words of the law. In verse 18, he read from the book of the law of God daily from the first day to the last day. What do we learn by looking at that? We learn to appreciate what God has written, don't we? And how vitally important it was to God's people, and how that bad things happened to them when they didn't listen to it anymore or lost the copy of it, or the kings didn't write the law of the Lord like they should have through neglect. We see serious things happen as a result of neglecting God's Word. Is it any wonder then why? Why is it that gospel preachers are trying to remind us to read the Bible so often? What's the deal? Well, there's the deal. It's vitally important. Jesus repeatedly encouraged people to read. The very people of God that he came to teach. It goes crazy every once in a while. How many times do you remember the Lord saying when he's in discussion with someone about what the law of God said, "Have you not read? Didn't you read this?" How is it that he was able to say that to somebody else? Would it be because he read the Word of God and he knew what it said? And here were religious leaders coming to him, pumping these questions at him all the time, trying to find something wrong with his answers. And he looks at them and he said, Have you read the Scriptures? Don't you remember this? Have you not read what David did when he became hungry with his companions? Have you not read the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? Don't you remember reading this? Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes you have prepared a praise for yourself? Did you never read the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected? This became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord and is marvelous in our eyes. Have you never read that? No, that would be like us quoting the 23rd Psalm to someone that lives in our neighborhood. And they're like, "Where'd that come from?" And your first reaction would be, you would want to say, "Have you never read that?" Now, when I was in grammar school, you could start quoting the 23rd Psalm, and all the people around you would understand exactly what you were talking about. That may not be the way it is nowadays. Why? Have you not read what was spoken to you by God in Matthew 22 and verse 31? And what did Jesus say when he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness in Matthew 4, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 10? What did he say? He didn't ask the devil if he'd ever read that. What did he say, though? How did he overcome those temptations? How did he successfully beat the devil in his evil game to destroy the purpose of the Son of God coming? It is written. It is written. It is written. You mean what was written was so vitally important that the Lord quoted it to the devil to ward off temptation? Absolutely. Absolutely. In Luke 10, beginning in verse 25, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law?" That's a good question to ask somebody that asks you a spiritual question, especially one about eternal life. What does the Bible say? What do the Scriptures say? Notice what Jesus says after he says, "What is written in the law?" How does it read to you? I've read it. I know what it says. I may have it memorized. How does it read to you? What does the law of God say to you? You see, that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where it's important. What does the Bible say to you? And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." That's what God's law says. And Jesus says to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you shall live." Do what is written. What did you find written there? Well, I found this. Love the Lord your God. You answered correctly. Don't you love it when the Lord says, you've answered that correctly? Wouldn't you love it when you question the Lord and he gives you a question back and you answer him and he says, "You answered that correctly"? You know how you could give him the correct answer? Quote from God's book. Quote directly from God's book. What must I do to be saved? That's a great question. Answer from God's book. There were people that raised that question when the apostles were going in all the world preaching the gospel in every place. What must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Notice how they answer. And ask someone that question today and notice how they answer. And their answer will either be correct or it will be incorrect. And the only way for it to be correct is for them to tell you what it says in God's book. Right? It's interesting also that the apostles and prophets of New Testament days incorporated reading. The Bereans that we referred to in the Bible class this morning were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they examined the Scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul was speaking about were true. Paul's instructions to people about reading God's Word. And people we talk to sometimes say, "Well, I've tried to read the Bible. I just don't understand what it says." Well, may I suggest that you read Ephesians 3 and verse 4, where the Apostle Paul, with the great mind that he had, said this: "When you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. When you read what I'm writing to you, you can understand it." Paul didn't say, I'm writing in such a way that nobody will ever be able to understand, and that'll show how great I am. No. Paul didn't say that, did he? And when letters were written in New Testament days, they had it read in all the churches. They wanted to circulate it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 27, "I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren." Because it was Scripture. It was from God. Going back, Paul to young Timothy, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. John wrote his gospel, so that when people read it, they would come to believe that Jesus was the Christ, and they would have eternal life in His name. You know, we could go on for a very long period of time with Scripture after Scripture showing the vital importance of reading God's Word. But we're out of time. Are you reading God's Word? That's the question. And that's the point. Is it a top priority in your life? If it is not, please change that and make it so. Read God's Word. It benefits you in so many ways. Thank you for listening to me tonight. I appreciate your kind attention. If you're in our assembly and you're not a Christian, you'd like to become one tonight, we'd like to encourage you to do nothing other than what you find in God's Word, and you can read it. You can read about cases of conversion. You can read about how people were converted, what instructions they were given by the apostles who went everywhere preaching under the commission of Christ. Christ told them what to preach. And they were faithful in preaching it. Men don't have any business trying to change that. If we want to be what those converts were in the first century, and they were simply Christians, if we want to be what they were, we have to believe what they believed and do what they did. And then we'll be exactly what they were. And we can look at the Word of God and see that when the Lord said, I will build my church, we will see, well, I'm a part of it because I've heard His Word and I've obeyed His gospel. If that's your desire tonight, please come and tell me about it. We'll assist you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ, baptize you into Christ according to the Scriptures, and encourage you to be faithful to everything that's in the Scriptures. If we can help you with that tonight, come to the front and let me know about it. While together we stand and encourage you by singing the invitation song. May God bless you.